The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, a national analysis of GP shortages shows concerning patterns of workforce pressures on the Dublin commuter belt and indeed on the Western Seaboard and deprived areas as well. This is according to the Irish College of GPs. And it is an issue that many of you may have come across in your own localities when you're struggling to find a GP. Minister for Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill was asked about this morning on the Claire Byrne Show. And this is what she had to say.
We do have increasing number of GPs all of the time. The Medical Council is registering them. I see those numbers. But we don't have enough to keep pace with population. But can I just say, it's not just GPs. What I've described to you about the community pharmacy is as important. Because if you don't have to go to your GP to get a basic prescription, mm-hmm. that frees up space in that GP's office for something else. So it's a complete approach to trying to increase access to care in every way. Yes, we do need more GPs. Yes, our population is rising and we need more of them.
That was Minister for Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill there. And joining me now to discuss this further in terms of what GPs would like to see done to combat the increased pressure is Ciarán Ó'Farraí, Donegal-based GP and member of the ICGP. Good evening to you, Ciarán. You heard what the Minister had to say there in terms of more GPs coming on board and indeed local pharmacists being able to take the pressure off GPs by being able to dispense basic prescriptions, as she describes it. Do you think that's fair comment?
Well, I think, you know, the issue really is that we have a shortage of GPs, and we know that we've about 4,600 at the minute, and we probably need over 6,000 with our increase in population. And I don't think that can be replicated or replaced by additional services. What we need is investment in GP services.
Okay. And in terms of the investment in GP services, what do you want to see happen? Because as she has pointed out, the numbers have increased and they have increased quite considerably over the last number of years.
Yeah, so I suppose what this study has highlighted is that there are three key pressure areas along the West Coast, rural general practice, in areas of urban deprivation around North Dublin and along the commuter belt, so areas like Kildare and Wicklow, where there's been rapid population growth, but the GP infrastructure hasn't kept up with that. So over the last 10 years, we've seen a population growth of about 9% and a growth in GP numbers of about 10%. So we're keeping up, but we haven't increased that. So we're looking for, I suppose, resources to help train new GPs, to retain the GPs we have, and to help with the development of a rapid development of GP services in an area where there's high population and demand.
Of course, it's not just areas of high population are problematic, as you point out. It's rural areas as well, including your own Donegal. In other countries, they approach this differently. If you're in Australia or Scotland or places of small rural communities that perhaps aren't as attractive to people, new graduates, etc., to go and work there, they're paid a subsidy to do so. Should we be looking at that here? We seem aghast at the idea that different people in different parts of the country, I think this is a unionisation thing, that they could earn different amounts of money.
Yeah, and you know, as you said, that area is a particular area of problem, and sustainability of those practices is an issue where there are smaller populations spread out over a larger area, which may make the viability of those practices difficult. So there is a need for specific supports for those type of practices to ensure that people have access to general practice no matter where they live.
So would the IMO and the ICGP and these bodies, they would be okay with people being paid more to be a GP in Donegal than maybe paid to be a GP in, I don't know,
I suppose I can't say I speak for them, but I suppose we know that within different areas we provide different supports for different populations, and what we're highlighting here now is that there are areas where there are particular concerns, and so maybe that's where particular resources need to be targeted.
So you're not against it. There's obviously different reasons. The commuter belt, I understand the population has exploded with people in new housing estates and all of that, trying to get, you know, proximity to Dublin. The rural communities, I understand as well, they're scanty populations, maybe much more onerous in terms of being on call as a GP in those sorts of areas. But what is the reason why people don't want to work in deprived communities, many of which would be in urban centres that would probably be not very far away from leafy suburbs where GPs might like to live?
Yeah, I suppose what we know in these areas of urban deprivation is that patients there have much higher complexity of need, and so have high utilisation of healthcare resources. And so what's needed there is extra resources and extra GPs to be able to cope with that extra workload that's associated with that more complex care that's needed in those areas.
So are you saying that GPs are avoiding those areas because it's a lot like hard work if you work there?
I think what we're highlighting is that there's a workforce pressure in those areas, and part of this study is highlighting where the problems are and I suppose looking at what the need is. So we know that if people have increased healthcare needs, that we need more resources for them there. So, you know, if people attend more often, we need more GPs to be able to cope with that demand and that workload.
Okay. In terms of obviously extra graduates coming out of the general practice schemes would help in terms of numbers, although many of them go away to places like Australia. The International Medical Graduate Programme, which has recruited international GPs to work in Ireland, is that one of the routes to improving the situation?
Yes, so the Irish College of GPs is working with the HSE and the Department of Health to increase training places in the coming year, going from 350 to 400. So we have over 1,100 GPs in training at the moment, but that takes time. Regarding the international medical graduates, yes, that's brought about 170 doctors into predominantly rural Ireland, which is a great benefit. And that is an area that the college continues to work with to try and expand the numbers coming in.
Do we know, you mentioned the number in training over 1,000 there, do we know how many of them are going to stay afterwards? What's the kind of current emigration rate of newly qualified doctors?
For general practice, we know that I think the figures were something between 20 and 30% had an interest in leaving. But I suppose if we can make the jobs here desirable and you know, good for people to stay in, then hopefully we have people who want to stay in this country and work in the jobs. And, you know, general practice is an incredibly rewarding job. You know, we get to see people from cradle to grave, but it's also a demanding job. And, you know, we see over 100,000 consultations every single day in general practice around the country. So there's a huge burden of work there, but it is a very satisfying and rewarding job as well.
Okay, and then maybe last question for you. You said up to 30% will emigrate, but if we can make the jobs here more attractive, how do we make the jobs here more attractive? Is that down to money?
I suppose resources in general. We want to make the job something that's sustainable. So we know that there's a huge burden of admin for jobs, with many GPs highlighting that they work late into the evenings and at weekends to keep up with demand. So it's ensuring that we make the job sustainable, that we have the necessary resources, enough GPs, enough GP nurses, and admin support for them to be able to do the job that they want and provide good patient care to their patients, which they strive to do all the time.
Look, thank you very much for joining us. That is Dr. Ciarán Ó'Farraí there, Donegal-based GP and member of the ICGP. Someone has texted in, Shane, out of hours, doctor services like Shannon Dock need to be open 24/7. This then serves medical card holders and kids, etc. Impossible to get a doctor in Ennis. I don't really understand that text, because first of all, why would medical card holders and kids go there rather than to their own GP, which is what they currently do? And also, who's going to staff
after
them?
Hours.
No, they're saying they should be open 24/7.
Yeah, but I think Shannon Dock, I think, is an after-hours service.
Yeah, out-of-hours services should be open 24/7. I mean, they should be open all day. That's what the text is saying.
Yeah.
Why would medical card holders not be staying with their own GP? Why would they be going to that service?
Because if it's 2 a.m, they would go to that service, because their own GP service would be closed.
Yeah, but they're saying they should be, we're at cross purposes. They're saying keep the out of hours open, keep those out of hours clinics open 24 hours a day.
I presume they mean all through the night rather than 24 hours.
No, I think they mean 24 hours a day. I think they're saying you can't get a doctor in Ennis, and if all the medical card and children went elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I see no reason why
they can't get a doctor. Is that why?
Yeah, but the medical cards and children are they're under no compunction to go elsewhere either. That is my point. But also, who's going to staff the clinics?
Well, who is going to staff? Look, is a fair question.
We'd love to know about your situation, about whether you can or can't get a GP in your area. 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.